Batty Boom Batties, Pete Donaldson here from the Pete bit of the Luke and Pete Show. Watcher.
The way you said that was like I wasn't here as well.
Batty Boom Batties.
I am here.
You are here. Imagine if I had to do this by myself. That'd be confusing, wouldn't it? Maybe we should trial that. I do like a show by myself and then you do the Thursday one.
Oh, you're trying to sort of share the workload.
Yeah, or yeah. Double it in many ways, because I got to talk for ages.
Pete Donaldson, the podcast game, what's that word, Pete, that people use for Japanese? Anime. Podcast game anime character, Pete Donaldson.
Yeah.
That works, doesn't it? It works. Yeah. It works. I'm Luke Moore, that is Pete Donaldson. We are here with Luke and Pete Show. I think this is episode 80, but as we established on the last episode, we just don't know.
You ain't got a clue.
No one knows. It doesn't actually matter. The only reason it matters is because it gets labelled properly on iTunes, and then people can refer to it when they're emailing in saying, oh, that thing you talked about on that episode, which we can't remember anyway.
Good point.
Gives them a bit of an anchor, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it'll be great for the lawyers in our eventual trial.
Yeah,
they can sort of reference a particular episode.
Indeed. So last time around, we talked a bit about eggs that are like condoms. Yeah. It wasn't pleasant. A school prank that went way too far.
Soda yummy.
Soda yum. Putting the yum in soda yum. What else? Oh, gadgets. We've had lots of emails about gadgets. We'll get to those next week, I think.
Needless gadgets.
Not needless. Why are they needless? Gadgets.
Well, I mean, a heart rate monitor and a blood pressure monitor.
You've just shed billions off the gadget market by saying that. Never
gadgets,
use the word
not
needless.
In. Much yeah, needed. I don't know. Why am I not seen as this kind of like visionary of the future?
A few reasons. a number of reasons.
I've got an Amazon Prime account. That's how I get all my tech.
If I've never seen like a news story about, I don't know, like Jeff Bezos, which says Bezos would have made the AGM, but was unfortunately unavailable due to falling asleep in Hyde Park and getting so sunburned he couldn't move. Visionary, that doesn't happen.
No, because he'd probably have like a Tesla sun blocker or something.
He'd have, that's Elon Musk. He'd have.
Yeah. Well, Bezos is Amazon, isn't he?
Yeah.
He drives a really crap car, doesn't he?
He probably has someone to get the sunburn for him.
Yeah.
Probably got sunburn. I want to go out in the sun today, but to be honest, I haven't got time.
I like those.
Can
I,
you get sunburn for
I like those Twitter posts where like Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos basically goes, I don't know what to do with all my money. And then it cuts to Amazon employees like forced to not go to the toilet and stuff. Yeah.
I do understand. I do wonder why a man that powerful and that wealthy allows that to happen. Now I understand the bottom line is there, but the PR damage presumably takes care of the savings anyway.
Nah, they don't pay, like very few big corporations pay big amounts of corporation tax or decent amounts of corporation tax in Britain, and yet I still use their products because it's convenience and I am lazy. Yeah.
I've got a good friend of mine, Duncan. Bloody good friend of mine, actually. One of my closest friends. He is very principled about companies he will and won't use, to the point where he's got like a blacklist, which he doggedly sticks to.
It's very hard.
Exactly.
Very
but he is one of the most stubborn men, in a good way, that I've ever met.
If you go far enough up the pole, you are going to experience... Because you're in business. Like, you're a dickhead anyway, because you've got to be a dickhead. You've got to be ruthless. You've got to be a shit.
Yeah, indeed.
And so you're always going to find something problematic. You just always are.
Indeed, I think he's down to about three airlines he can actually use now.
As soon as EasyJet can fly, I'm trying to get around the world on EasyJet.
But his wife got injured on a holiday once or a trip away once, and they were terrible at helping her get home, so he never used them since.
Right,
one's been like so bad with delay. Like he's got about three airlines that he can literally use.
Wow,
that's it. I should get him to email in with his list of blacklisted companies and why. That'd be quite good.
Yeah.
But I haven't got that to hand. One thing I have got to hand though, Pete, is something I really wanted to read to you, which to me, and for my money, and hopefully for the listeners who are tuning in, the news story of the year.
Right.
I'm just going to read it to you. I don't think you would have seen it.
Big potatoes, mate. Big potatoes.
It's brilliant. Listen to this. A Polish charity has received a huge phone bill.
I can't believe this. I wrote this in my phone.
You're being serious?
Yeah, I was going to read this out as well.
Oh, hey, man, look at that. We're on the same blooming wavelength, Donny.
Wait a minute. Where's me notes? Notes. Twitter post. Where does that take us? Polish environmental group.
All right, shall I read it or do you want to read it?
No, I read it. I don't have the facts. I'm like you, but worse researched.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually. A Polish charity has received a huge phone bill after it lost a GPS tracker that it placed on the back of a stork. According to official broadcaster Radio Poland, the environmental ecologic group placed a tracker on the back of a white stork last year to track the bird's migratory habits. It travelled some 3,700 miles and was traced to the Blue Nile Valley in eastern Sudan before the charity lost contact. Mm. Ecologic told the Super Express newspaper that somebody found the tracker in Sudan, removed the SIM card, put it in their own phone, and then racked up 20 hours worth of phone calls.
I'm loving it. I'm loving that. I like the fact that the system's kind of meant to track this kind of this GPS signal probably didn't have a handle on, like, you know, what it was spending.
No. Radio Poland says the organisation received a phone bill of over 10,000 Polish zloty,
love
or
it.
£2,064, which it will have to pay.
That seems underwhelming for me.
No ambition.
It would have been long distance at huge amounts of it would have been really expensive, I think.
But the thing I don't get about the story is that it explicitly says here 20 hours worth of phone calls, right? Mm. So there is like a decent level of shithousery going on here, because they're obviously thinking, I suppose I've got this SIM card, I might as well just make unnecessary. No one needs to make 20 hours of phone calls. They're just doing it because they think it's not me paying for it. It's almost like you get given a supermarket sweep and you get loads of food you don't need, and it'll all just go off.
Just rots.
People on the other end of the line, I've been talking to you for an hour, you've not said anything yet. What's going on? Well, what it is actually I've got this SIM card and it's free, so I just thought I'd call you. Well, what you're doing is you're wasting my time.
You're wasting energy.
You're wasting both of our time and you're costing the charity a lot of money. There's a lot to enjoy about that story.
I wish I could do this show by phone.
Well, some would argue that you do phone it in. Apparently, anyway, just to finish off the story, stork tagging plays an important role in environmentalist research, and the conservation of migratory birds can be used to help scientists assess their habits, social behaviour, and threats.
Do you know how they could have saved money there, Polish environmental group?
What?
Just ask the stork where he's gone.
Yeah, where are you going?
Where you going, mate? What are you doing? What are you doing today?
It's a little diary.
I'll keep a diary.
Yeah. Apparently, the thing about it is, start a vlog. This charity deserves everything it gets because the white stork is apparently not currently at risk.
Oh, foolish. Well, probably due to their fine work.
Yeah.
I imagine.
Well, not due to their security work. Listen, that SIM card's expensive, so keep an eye on it, will you?
I think their funding's at risk. Yeah. I think their funding's endangered.
It came back. Oh, where's the SIM card? Ah, yeah, I was going to talk to you about that. Got whipped off me back. Oh, well. Anyway, what's been floating your boat, Donaldson?
Oh,
that, apparently.
Loads of stuff. I'm still recovering from dreadful sunburn.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that's going to leave me at some point. What did I do over the weekend? What did I do? I went to a birthday party and Chesney Hawkes played. But get this, Chesney Hawkes did songs that the person who booked him liked. As in, he just did covers of songs that the birthday boy liked.
He's learnt that ahead of time.
Amazing, though. Yeah, exactly. So he's playing his guitar. He's playing, like, Walking on Sunshine, and Summer 69. It's so weird seeing Chesney Hawkes sing those songs.
I've got a... I don't know the guy in question. I don't even know whose birthday it was. But I think if you're getting an artist to play some songs you like for your birthday specifically, and you end up with Chesney Hawkes playing I'm Walking on Sunshine, that sends a message.
What do you mean?
I think it's low rent.
What do you mean it's low rent?
It's
paying for Chesney Hawkes to not do his normal set, i.e. I Am The One And Only, and then come back and do... What was the second song? It was that one he did for the Buddy Holly musical.
Right. Probably does... I imagine he does...
A Man, Not A Boy.
That's right. I imagine he does I Am The One And Only more than once at live shows.
He does it in acoustic, kind of, I'm one and only. Then he puts the backing track on for the finale.
There you go.
But he's very self-aware. He's had the mole removed, which is very disappointing.
Yeah.
Maybe he got caught. Maybe he got sunburned and he was worried about the movement of it.
But it's all right for you to get your sweat glands lasered off, but it's not all right for Chesney Hawkes to have a mole removed.
Well, that's cosmetic, isn't it? I'm a big sweaty mess. I'm ruining clothes, mate.
That's true.
I'm ruining reputations. That's true. My reputation.
Whose birthday was it? Was it anyone famous?
It was a guy called Tetley, who's a very well thought of guy, very high up in sales. And you know, we sort of see
so
people,
no, then.
Well, what I was talking about earlier, as in if you're in business, like, you have to be a bit of a C word. Like, this guy's, like, quite high up, and you sort of go, how come everyone loves him and he's really nice? It's really weird. How have you managed to get so high but still keep everyone on side and be nice?
Is he living some sort of Patrick Bateman type existence?
I don't know, you'd have to ask him. But his name's Tetley because he's from the north.
So there you go. You went to a birthday party where Chesney Hawkes was the main event.
It was in the Leadenhall building. It was like 41 floors up. Beautiful.
Nice spot.
Yeah.
Nice spot. I mean, that is a man who clearly knows how to push the boat out when it comes to his birthday.
We were looking at the boats and the Thames.
I'm mistrustful of a person as an adult who gets too into their own birthday, though.
What do you mean?
I just don't think it's...
I think he's 50.
Oh, it's his 50th, is it? Okay, well, fair enough then. Fair enough.
Apparently had a legendary one at his 40th as well. But it was a flipping good party. Good. Well done him. And I've not had a birthday since I was 30.
Well, you have. You haven't had a party since you were 30.
I'm not a party. If a birthday falls in the woods, you know, it's just like, do you celebrate? Do you ever really do anything? Like, I'm always surprised that people want to celebrate or want to sort of go, what are we going to do for your birthday? Nothing.
But the way you said that, and I know you as a man who will talk to girls in bars and say you're 30. So it gives you the context of thinking that you're still 30.
How rude.
There we go. I've not been to any birthday parties at all. I have.
You don't get invited to this.
No, I don't. I don't. Yeah. And to be fair, it's one of those things where
I have my own friends. I don't, 5 words.
There we go. I don't have a. I don't have a particularly interesting going anyway. So everyone wins. Everyone wins.
You're a cat man. You've turned into a cat man. You've become a hermit based cat man.
I think that's a misconception.
What?
Well, I did I tell you that my two cats have about to go on a diet?
I don't know if you told them on the podcast, but oh no, you did. Yeah, you did. Because Hercules is taking on the chin.
I'm not a cat man. I am an animal lover,
right?
Who, for practical reasons, can't have a dog,
right?
So decides to have a couple of cats.
I see.
And if I had my own way, when I get out of this whole foul jamboree in a few years' time, and I'm out in the countryside, I'll have a dog and a couple of cats. I expect. So shove that in your pipe, Donaldson.
Monkey. Get a ferret. Lovely.
Is that what? See, I'm very unclear.
It's like a long egg compared to an egg. Ferret.
True. Yeah, I'm very unclear on what animals.
I'd love to see a ferret eating a long egg. Hello. Oh my god!
Hello at LukeandPeter.com.
Imagine a ferret eating a long egg. Like, you've made a long egg for a ferret. The image alone.
It wouldn't be able to eat the whole thing.
No, but it would like nibble at the side. But the egg would be long and the ferret would be long. Oh!
It'd be so long.
Can you remind me of that image? Because that's fantastic.
Hello at LukeandPeter.com if you can make that happen. I mean, people should be able to make that happen, right?
Oh!
I forgot what I was going to say now because you sidetracked me.
I need to go. I need to go to Pets R Us.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm unclear, and presumably you are as well, Pete, because you've got no respect for the law.
Mm.
What animals are legal and what aren't?
Right.
There's an Exotic Pets Act, I think.
You can get licenses for certain animals and stuff. But like back in the 70s, you could just buy a monkey off anyone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A golden age.
Golden age.
Do you remember a few episodes ago where someone emailed us in saying that an eagle dropped a snake on a bald man's head? It's like, I'd love that. I'd love if that happened. Yeah, the sound it made would be amazing, but who knows? Anyway, let's go to a break and then let's do some emails, Pete.
Can I use the Brian Blessed sound effect again? Because I enjoyed
it. It went down bloody well last time.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're going to report me for saying bugger, you know. Oh, just wait till I see your mother. You're in real trouble. Oh, I say, wait, you got to go and see her. Then tell her this booger-shaped funky fucking sphincter.
The fucking sphincter, so meaty at the end.
Yeah. Remember that story about Blessed dressed as Henry VIII getting really pissed off? And anyway. So last time around, I gave you some options for some emails involving testicles.
Testicles.
You declined those emails.
No.
So we're going to do them now. Do you want man damages balls or man protects balls with burrito?
Oh, burrito, please.
Okay.
I think pushing a burrito against your testicles wouldn't be the worst thing you could do with your testicles or your burrito.
This email is a man. It's from a man called Keith.
Okay. Hey,
you
Keith.
You wouldn't name a kid Keith now, would you?
You wouldn't.
Can you imagine a baby being called Keith
now? Like baby Neil. Why would you call your baby Neil?
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine if you went around your friend's house. They say, oh, yeah, baby's been born and all that. Come and visit. No name yet. Yeah. All right, so you go around there with your little teddy bear and your flowers. Congratulations, go into the room. Yeah. And they spring it on you.
Yeah.
Oh, what have you called him? He's lovely. You're holding him. Right, so there's nowhere to hide.
Yeah.
What you called him? Keith.
Baby Randy.
What's your reaction?
What?
Keith. Too late. You've already ruined it. You've taken too long.
I looked at the middle distance there and I didn't mean to.
Yeah, let's practice it again, okay? Okay, right, ready? You just start this role play by asking me what I've called my baby. You're holding the baby.
Oh, what a beautiful baby. Oh, he's got that new baby smell. What you called him?
Keith.
Fuck off! It's a ridiculous name. I'm dropping this baby immediately.
No, seriously. Seriously. I am genuinely interested in what you would do. So do it again, but
I'll drop the baby. I'll just go, fuck off. No. Just go, fuck it. Get fucked. No.
Let's go one more time.
Right.
You start. You're holding the baby, so hold the baby.
Oh, this baby is so cute. Look, he's got such long eyelashes. Oh, he's so cute. Oh, what's his name?
Warren.
Get the fuck out of here. I'm taking this baby into Child Protective Services. You can't be trusted.
You wouldn't get,
a
baby called...
You're a diddler.
Give me another name that you wouldn't call a baby now.
Franklin.
No, you would. You'd get that. That's a wacky name. You'd
Franklin?
Get that.
Okay. I think Joseph's a bit of a swerve.
You'd definitely get that.
Yeah.
Steve?
It's a shortening, though, isn't it?
No, but not Stephen. Steve.
Yeah, Pete. I think Pete's a stupid name for a baby. Pete.
That you wouldn't call a baby Pete now. No, it just wouldn't happen.
Well, you earn the dropping of the letter, don't you? Because like, I was always put, like Peter the baby is it's biblical.
Yeah.
But Pete the baby.
Yeah. Someone was saying to me the other day that they
Gumpfer,
their friend
the baby
their friend but wacky names are just they're all the rage. Someone said to me the other day their friend or something whatever it was called their baby John.
Right.
After a member of the family or something. But ultimately, it's still called John, right? What are you going to do? Say to everyone, oh, we've called him John, but it's after a member. No, you've called the baby John.
John.
It sounds mad, doesn't it? Anyway, Keith, thanks for sending an email in, Keith.
Adolf.
We've just
baby.
Spent the last 10 minutes trashing your name. But look, when you were born, I imagine it was a different time, and that name was at least slightly more acceptable. Keith says, hey, guys.
Hey,
listening to the episode 76 stories of tube fights. Now, we named about four episodes in episode 76 by accident. So, and like a good little content provider, I've decided to share the tale of how a bag of Chipotle once saved me on the NYC subway. Are you familiar with Chipotle?
Chipotle,
like
yes.
A Mexican fast food restaurant.
Din-dins.
I think you have them in London as well. Mm. I had been living in New York for a couple of years, and my parents had come down to town for a visit. After a long day of sightseeing, my brother could not wait for dinner and insisted on grabbing a burrito. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Keith says, while I judged him for getting Chipotle in one of the world's greatest food cities, again, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, I also ended up grabbing some chips and guacamole for myself. I, of course, ended up carrying the big bag of food. As we hopped on the A train to head back to my tiny apartment, a young homeless woman boarded along with us. She began her spiel, asking for a bit of help, and before she could get three words out, a young fashionable woman nearby began shouting over her, talking about how this woman needs to get a job, is a blight on society, etc. At which point, I, always eager to tell someone when they're wrong or being a complete dick, began shouting over the top of her.
It's a weird thing to do, isn't it? As a young, fashionable person.
Yeah, what's your problem?
Why are you getting involved? What?
Yeah. It's not
you're only
I
ever going to come off badly.
But it's New York, isn't it? It's New York. Keith says, I'm sure everything I shouted was perfectly civil, but I may have blacked out from the euphoria of bringing justice to the world. Whatever I said, it prompted a quite literal knee-jerk reaction from the fashionable woman, who immediately kicked out, aiming the pointy little toe of her fashionable little shoes directly for my man bits. Fortunately for me, I had left a Chipotle bag dangling in front of me several inches below my Louis Van Gaals, that's balls, and it managed to absorb enough of the blow that my precious bits were only slightly grazed. We then rode together in an awkward silence on the crowded train for several stops. My father was proud, my mother was mortified, and my brother, like with most things, was unmoved.
What? So this woman,
did you eat the burrito?
Exactly. Was the burrito unscathed?
Burritos are quite robust, aren't they?
No, God, no. One touch, that's with the soggy bread, and then just you know, you've got a bag full of rice and shit.
No, but I think once they're opened, they're very unrobust. Mm. But when they're wrapped, foiled, they're robust.
The ends are robust because they're tucked. The middle, very, very porous, all right. Well, listen, very, very soft.
If you get fast food, so you get a burger, a McDonald's burger, like wrapped. A cheeseburger, okay. wrapped in a piece of paper.
Yeah.
A burrito wrapped in foil.
Yeah.
Nice and tight. Nice and tight.
Nice and tight.
Nice. I don't want to do an Irish accent for a Mexican piece of food. Nice and fucking tight.
Right.
Right? You get a, what, help me out here.
Like a chicken wings.
Oh, yeah. Chicken wings in a box.
Yeah.
You get a kebab in one of those polystyrene boxes, right?
Kebab's kind of like a burrito, though, isn't it? Oh, in a polystyrene
box. It's packaged differently, okay, so, yeah. So basically...
Yeah, the burrito's definitely going to perish first.
I'm giving you a scenario.
Yeah.
I walk up a moderate-sized ladder, yeah. So I'm holding each foodstuff 12 feet off the floor, okay? I then drop them all completely like a science experiment that you do with like an egg at school, and they land on the concrete floor. Which one is surviving the best?
You're talking about two different experiments, though, because the pointy shoe is a small surface area.
So it's going to puncture. So you're worried about a puncture injury.
Yeah,
here.
But they are okay. Very, yeah, but I mean like a flat, I still think the burrito will fare pretty well, to be honest.
But I do as well, that's what I've said.
But if I was going to kick one, the burrito would explode immediately. The boxes, it depends on whether the little polystyrene clasp has maintained integrity on the other two.
Yeah.
But the burger will probably survive a bit better, I reckon. Depending on how they've...
how tightly it's wrapped.
Sometimes they tape them, so...
And they don't tape them in McDonald's. I said McDonald's.
No.
You don't get any tape in McDonald's.
No, you don't.
I think a burrito is a very robust fast food stuff, and I think let's just leave it there. But thanks for that, Keith. And I apologise for riffing on your name.
Yeah. Kane's got into the show. Thank you, Kane. Not the wrestler, presumably. Big fan of the podcast. Thank you. I thought I'd write in and explain why M&Ms and such other imported luxury goods have such inflated prices. Interesting term,
nice start.
Imported luxury good. But when companies over here import luxury goods, they sign agreements saying they would sell these goods at predetermined high prices. Naturally, because of this, there is a surplus of high stock. This is when wholesalers can then buy these products off these suppliers for a lower price, so that A, these companies can earn some money back, and B, these companies don't break the contract by selling them below the RRP. This is known as the grey market. This business strategy has seen to the larger...
Just
the grey market.
Oh, the grey market, sorry.
This business strategy has been seen to a larger degree within the luxury watch industry, where luxury watches have been sold online for a fraction of the RRP, as luxury stores across the UK are scared of breaking the contract but are unable to shift those watches, so they've been selling them to big online wholesalers. Get us a bloody Rolex, Kane!
Yeah, you know a lot about this.
Hook us up with a Rolex, mate.
That's fascinating to me. So to protect their contract, and I guess to protect the integrity of the brand itself, they have to almost grey market sell them on to get any money back because they can't sell them. That's mad.
Yeah, big watch retail manufacturer Richemont have gone out and bought every single one of their watches sold here and processed them to destroy every single one of them. This has resulted in the loss of £421 million worth of watches just to preserve the perceived brand value of their watches.
I mean, that is ridiculous. Is that true?
It's all a house of cards, isn't it? This is the only reason why they're so expensive. Same with spectacles. There's only one game in town, Luxottica, I think, they own all of the spectacle brands. They've got a mass monopoly.
Right.
You've got, you know... Market forces.
So you're taking a £421 million step back to go forward?
Yeah, hugely.
It's a gamble.
Hugely.
It's a gamble,
Donnie. Yeah, but when your whole brand is built on prestige, that's what you're trading on, isn't it?
Kane's busted that myth
Kane's
wide
busted
open.
That wide open. Hashtag get us a Rolex, Kane. All of my Rolexes are fake.
I am an owner of a fairly expensive watch, which I saved up for ages to buy. I'm not wearing it at the moment.
I looked at your wrist because I was like, is it too hot? Because your watch is a beast.
No, I'm not. It's not because it's too hot. It's because when I work, it's a metal. It's got a metal. What's it called? It's metal, but it's got a leather strap. But it clunks on my laptop a lot.
Yeah,
and I've noticed that it gets a little bit damaged.
Right.
So I'm only saving it for decent occasions now.
Metals.
Yeah. So I don't even wear mine every day. There you go. What about that? Fascinating stuff. Thanks, Kane.
Yeah.
What about this one, Peter? We've got time for this one, I think, from Chris Gower.
Who is
a photographer and videographer at chrisgower.com.
I think I pulled this one out as well because I was quite excited by it. So well done, the Gower man.
Yeah, well done Gower. You've ticked both boxes there. You wouldn't call your baby Chris these days, would you?
Chris the baby. Chris, it's Chris's christening. We're going to call him Chris Christofferson.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't. You just wouldn't do that. It's so weird to me that that's happened.
But you wouldn't. But again, it's just a shortening of the name, isn't it? I didn't realise that people were actually christened, like, you know, born as John instead of Jonathan. I find that very strange. John the baby. He's going to do your fucking drywall.
As a baby?
Yeah.
Don't you think it's...
He's installing a sump pump in your cellar.
We live in a world, Pete, I think I'm right in saying, where it would be less odd to call your baby Apple than it would be to call it David.
Yeah. Well, you know, as a country, I think we don't go to church anymore,
we're enjoying
the freedom of not having to use biblical names.
There's a Fox News rant.
Yeah, put the school back in Christianity. Yeah,
I think it's the other way around.
And put the burrito back next to your testicle where it belongs.
I think people should do that fast food integrity test.
Why?
Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yes, Chris Gower has been in touch with a lovely email, which I've titled. You know, I like to give these emails titles to help myself. Okay. Look, I'm not a very good broadcaster. I need aid memoirs all over the gaff. And for this one, I've called Reading Festival and Jackass Combined to Make for Queasy Reading.
Ooh.
Chris Gower says, all right, chaps, you're imagining doing a festival with two broken arms comment. Reminded me of the second Reading Festival I went to in 2001. First of all, Pete, were you there?
Yes, I was. I think it was Marilyn Manson, Eminem, the Mad Caddies, a Real Big Fish, the Strokes.
I think 2001 is the one I went to for the day, which had an amazing day where it was Strokes, the White Stripes, the Dandy Warhols, and I think Pulp on one day. Anyway,
were Pulp a concern in 2001?
They were. Well, they were big. They were second headlines, I think, on that day.
Were they?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not a big Pulp man, but I just remember it.
I'm a big Pulp man, but I don't remember it. What was I going to say? 2004. Who headlined Reading Friday night, 2004? No, 2007, sorry. 2007.
That's a bit of a change.
Sorry, 2007. Who headlined Friday night at Reading Festival?
So Sunday night always used to be the punk type night.
Well, the rock night, yeah.
So, okay.
Friday. It started to blur a little bit by this point, to be honest.
Friday. Friday. Okay, can you give me a clue?
They will no.
Just give me genre
they will nor be headlining
Lost Prophets.
Even the
Lost Prophets.
They probably played, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was Razorlight.
Wow.
Imagine that. How quickly things change.
So there's a
indie landfill.
There's a saying in there was a saying in the music industry about firework bands.
Yeah.
And that's what Razorlight basically were.
Yeah.
Like explode, gone. Mm. Like almost literally gone. Mm. Like Razor, there was a poster someone sent around to me the other day, and it was a 90s revival weekender, right? And it's bands like, I mean, it wasn't even, when I say 90s revival, and no disrespect to these bands, because I used to quite like a lot of them when I was a kid, but the level we're talking about here, Pete, is like Cast, Space.
Yeah. Salad.
Yeah, that type of stuff. Down the bottom, second from opener, in a 90s revival weekender, Razorlight.
Yeah, Razorlight, they're doing a lot of them. I think that might have
been... But they're not even a 90s band.
That might have been Shine On, or maybe Starshipped, or maybe... There's loads of them now. Loads.
This is your
90s,
wheelhouse.
90s revival.
As the voice of Absolute Radio 90s.
Oh, shit, have I recorded... Yeah, good. have I recorded today's show? No, it's all good.
Anyway, Chris Gower. We're back in 2001, Pete. Gower. We're in Reading, in the beautiful rural county of Berkshire.
Mere days before September 11th.
Yeah, it would
will
be. It would be, yeah.
Late August, isn't it?
And a particular incident that summer, Chris says, not September 11th, that led to one of my friends turning up to the festival walking wounded. Aged 16 and 17 in 2001, we had been truly caught up on the CKY Jackass fervour that was gripping England. I remember it well.
Yep.
And a group of my friends and I used that summer and our parents' old VHS camcorders to film our own versions. Never do that. I mean, it says at the beginning, don't do that. As aspiring and utterly useless skateboarders, the idea of fanning around doing stupid stunts seemed a lot more achievable than learning to do anything more than an ollie on our skateboards. While most of our stunts led to awkward video footage of us hilariously waxing up toboggans and slowly shuffling down grassy mounds in the woods, one friend lacked the sheltered suburban risk-averse mindsets of the rest of us and decided to skate behind a friend's Vauxhall Nova. As it turned out, and by the way, I don't know where Chris is from, he doesn't say, but this is so funny because I'm slightly older than Chris, and so are you, Pete. But this is fairly identical to exactly what we used to get up to in our town, and down to the finest detail. A couple of my friends being shit skateboarders and one of them having a Vauxhall Nova. Anyway, as it turned out, clinging onto a rope attached to the back of a car doing 20 miles an hour riding a Toys R Us skateboard is quite hard. And I can still picture the moment the board's wobble got too much for him and he planted his foot on the quickly disappearing ground, headbutted the back of the car, then the ground, bounced a few times before rolling in a motionless heap next to the curb.
Smashing.
Miraculously, he avoided any breaks, but he did knock himself unconscious and tear open several large gashes up and down his body with a particularly monstrous open abscess on his left hip about the size of a mini disc. I'm keeping my references era specific, he said. To cut a long story short, Reading Festival was the following weekend. Tickets were a lofty £80 and you had to buy them from HMV. And he attended, complete with his horrible weeping open wounds. As we spent most of the time in the heaving, relentless circle and mosh pit that was the punk tent, he ended up having to retire to the medical tent every couple of hours or so to replace the bandages that had been smeared off onto some unfortunate punker in the mosh pit. He also needed to self-medicate thoroughly throughout the festival to keep the pain at bay. Not quite two broken arms, but a lot messier. And as a side note, Chris says, during my Reading Festival in 2000, I ended up accompanying my 16-year-old best mate to the medical tent after he began puking up his stomach lining because he bought a crate of special brew, thinking it was what proper drinkers drank, and found myself sat next to a boy, listen to this, with a smashed-up face who had been hit by Matt Bellamy from Muse's guitar.
Wow.
In the early days of Muse, apparently, he had a real tendency of just spinning round with his guitar and letting it go. He confirmed that the guitar had been retrieved by his friends who left him in a heap on the floor because it was probably worth a fair bit of money. He says, I also have a wealth of other stories, but I won't go into them because they're not suitable, especially with my last name attached. That's Chris Gower. Chris Gower.
That's the thing, that if you're jumping around at a festival, your arms are down, so you can't protect yourself from any errant Bellamy guitars.
I used to get right amongst it when I was a kid at gigs. Right down there.
I bet you're a nightmare because you're a big tall boy.
Yeah, I used to... the most recent time I did that was at Japan Droids and I felt like a teenager again. That was about 10 years ago now.
I think the last time I did it was probably Bouncing Souls in 2007.
You can't do it anymore because you've got the sunburn problem.
I would not like to be in a mosh pit right now.
Have you been to the doctor about that?
No.
You should really go to the doctor. I mean, it looks worse today than it did the other day.
It's just scabbing up. I just need to let it scab up.
You're not a doctor.
I am a doctor.
No doctor's going to say...
Technically, I am a doctor, Luke.
Imagine if you went into a hospital with your leg hanging off and the doctor went, you just need to let her scab up.
Yeah, scab over.
Yeah. There we go. I think that's probably just about as much time as we have.
Yeah.
Although the emails have been of amazing standard recently, so do keep them coming.
They really have. We've got a bit of a backlog. We're going to pile through those, but still keep sending them in because we will get to them.
hello@lukeandpeteshow.com is your destination for that. And if you like the show, this is really important. If you're listening right through to the end, Do tell your friends about the show if you like it and help us to spread the word.
I will gash you.
Or review us on iTunes or wherever you get your pods. Either works. Why not do both?
Yeah.
Cheers for that, Peter. We'll see you again. I'll see you again next time.
Fucking sphincter.